Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Every night.
I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
Summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sure.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
Nope. I don't care.
Heading my way for another place. And I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook, right? Answer.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And ho, 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 you bunch of lowlifers. We're there. We are staring right down the barrel of Santa Claus's gun right now. Here it comes. And this is your final warning. Here let me find some dramatic music. Hang on a second. To all you men out there, I say this every year, I'm terrible at Christmas. Terrible at Christmas. The Triple Threat would agree. I am terrible at Christmas. This is your last warning. This is the podcast for Monday, December 19th. You do not have a lot of time left. I know most of you have not started shopping at all. I am with you other than one major gift that I ordered online to keep from having to go out and about. And I sat right here in the bar and grill at my desk and ordered this. And they said they had free overnight shipping. Now, this is the big gift for the Triple Threat, okay? This is something that could possibly bring tears out. I feel like I'm actually doing good this year. And I swear, they said, we got free overnight shipping. I'm like, damn, this thing's going to get here. So I hit order, super pumped, get a shipping notification. And I swear, with all I've got, says signature required delivery. Totally understandable. Cost a little bit of money. I was gone on Friday here at the Bar and Grill for about 30 minutes. I got back home 5 minutes after FedEx left a note on the door saying they would not return until Monday with said gift. Now, this week I got to be down in the office some. Got a lot of things going on, and the Triple Threat is going to be here at the house. So I had all this planned out to what I thought, even though it was last minute, was going to work out pretty good. Swear you can't make it up. We're doing some work around here on our deck, and we just had a lot of repairs that needed to be done, and we end up having to basically replace the entire damn thing. But I've got a crew out here for really the last 3 months doing work when they can, when it's not terrible weather. And they were here. Their vehicle's parked right next to the garage. I get the FedEx guy's busy, right? I get it. Never even made an attempt to just peek his head around the corner. Hey, guys that I clearly hear working and talking and a radio playing. Never, just nothing. Just note on the door, right back with it, holding it hostage. So if Christmas is ruined, A, by me not being prepared, okay, and having to get a gift overnighted, but if it's ruined because FedEx and their signature needed, I don't know, I may just go to the headquarters in Memphis and I don't know. I don't know what I might do. Threaten a lawsuit. I don't know. Damn it. But I hate that that's the situation, man, to be in. And now I'm kind of sweaty about it, and I don't like that feeling. I know y'all know that. And, of course, I still got to go out because this is only one gift. I do not, full disclosure, December 19th, all you lowlifers, I do not have anything else. And we live in a world where I don't think this one thing will suffice. Like, we're going to have to do – and Marissa walks around making comments like, you're going to have the best Christmas ever. I'm so excited about what I've got you for Christmas. I'd just rather not give me anything. Can I just be honest with you people about that? I would just rather not give me anything than I wouldn't have to do anything. We've got a good life. We do fun stuff together. We go on trips. Our kids are taken care of. I'm grateful for the life that we have. We don't have to get each other Christmas gifts, do we? Do we have to do that? I'm almost 40 years old. Let's go. Come on. I mean, and I love doing for others. Like, that's my deal. But I'm terrible at it when it comes to her. I've struck out. We've been together almost 10 years. I strike out constantly. Oh, that's not the necklace that you wanted? I thought you said you wanted it. Well, not in that color, Luke. Oh, that's not the jacket? That's not your size? No, I don't wear that size. How could you not know that about me? Christmas is set up for men to fail. It brings out all of our weaknesses, and all of us got them. Our attention to detail sucks. We're always like, yeah, we'll do that tomorrow. And then tomorrow shows up like, yeah, we'll do that the next day. And we never do it. We never do it. And then now in this age of social media, you got some old boy that his wife's the breadwinner. He stays at home. He's cooking supper every night. He's getting the kids to and from soccer practice. And then he's posting his little videos of these amazing gifts he gets his wife. Makes us all look terrible. Makes us all look terrible. And everybody's always comparing to scrolling that feed. It's bad, man. It's bad. And, yeah, I'm terrible. I'm pretty good when it comes to the kids. I feel like I know my audience when it comes to the kids and what they're either into or something that I would have thought was cool. So I'm really good at that part of it. But with Marissa, I struggle, and I know so many of y'all talk about this every year, and I'll talk about it every year that I do this podcast. When Christmas arrives on our doorstep, I'll talk about this every year. So good luck to y'all. Good luck to y'all. It is, again, it's your final warning. It's your final warning right there. Speaking of Christmas, something I want to throw out there to all you lowlifers. Next Monday's podcast, that's when a lot of folks will observe Christmas work-wise. I'm not going to put one out. I may be doing a best of, but for the first time, just kind of how all the dates fell and everything. I don't want to bug people to record an episode this week. A lot of people have family stuff going on. And so I've got a really good one for you today. And we are going to, this is going to be my Christmas gift to you. Fantastic guest. I cannot wait to talk to that I've never had on the podcast. I have had him on a Boats and Pros. He is someone that I think the world of, and I can't wait to chop it up with him today. Might do a best of, not sure what my week looks like, if I'll have time to do that. Those take a lot of time. But we've got so many episodes now. I do think it would be fun to go back and grab some of those old ones and see what we can see what I could come up with for a little bit of best of for y'all. But and I know some of y'all have to work that Monday. A lot of y'all, I get that, and I appreciate the messages that, hey, look forward to LBL every Monday. But since late 2019, I have not missed a week that I know of. I might have missed a Monday. We might have had some Tuesday uploads, but I have not missed. I've not missed a week. So my plan right now is either a best of or I'll be off work that week. in between Christmas and New Year's to pop in and do a live, actually do a live that week. So I think that would be a lot of fun too. So y'all kind of hit me in the comments of what you want, a best of or a an actual live, and get somebody on the live to have some good times with us there. I think that's what I would rather do than a best of. But you low lifers can speak to that, what you want to do there. All right. I appreciate y'all though. I just with the timing of Christmas this year, I'm like, you know what? I normally record somewhere between Friday and Sunday a lot of times. Just, there's just a lot going on and I want to spend some time with my family. It's much needed. And so no episode, coming up on what would be the 26th, the day after Christmas. All right. Okay, let's thank these sponsors real quick. Startron, kicking ethanol in the teeth, in your chainsaw, in your weed eater, in your lawnmower. Most importantly, in that outboard engine, you do not want to let your boat and motor sit in the garage like mine's doing right now for longer than 2 weeks at a time. If you have ethanol in your fuel, you're going to want to put a dab of Startron in that tank before you store it, before you go deer hunting, before you go ice fishing, whatever it is you're doing that's keeping you, maybe your lake is frozen, whatever's keeping that boat stored for longer than 2 weeks, get you some Startron. It's available a lot of places. You have no excuses. Do not let ethanol ruin a great day on the water. Get you some Startron. Kick it in the teeth. We appreciate the folks from Startron bringing you LBL for many, 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 many moons now. Pro Guide batteries charging your life. I don't know if that's it. Did I just make up a, you're welcome. They probably have a slogan and that's probably like somebody else, some other Jimmy John's lithium garage company slogan, charging your life. Pro Guide batteries. I am running the 31 series AGM cranking battery. I ran that as trolling batteries. I ran four of those in the old X21 last year until the lithiums came out. And then I switched to lithium on the trolling side, still running the lithiums. Absolutely blown away by those batteries. They're fantastic. You can check them out. ProGuideBatteries.com. Use code LBL10. LBL10 to get you a little break and let them know you are a lowlifer. Baitworks.com. Bait-works.com. They got their 12 days of fishmas going on right now. They've had some insane deals. They're all sold out, I see, on some river to sea deals that they have. But they got buy two A-rigs, get two A-rigs free. Buy two spinner baits, get three free. That's actually a really good deal because I feel like I have to buy, Justin Atkins and I talk about this all the time, I have to buy new spinnerbaits every time I go fishing because they just suck. They just, either the wire gets bent, something always happens. So I just feel like every time I'm going fishing and I think a spinnerbait could be involved, I just go buy a bunch of new ones every time. Justin says he feels like that too. Every time that could be a spinnerbait a spinnerbait happening. But of course they've got all the brands you want on there. Rapala, buy two, get two free. Zoom, buy two, get two free. Strike King, buy two, get two free. Yum and True Bass Swim Baits, buy two, get two free. Those are great. Dude, that new Scottsboro, check these out. The new Scottsboro Tackle Company Yum little swimmers, they like them. They like them. I've caught a good many smallmouth on those things this fall, in particular, like that 3.5-inch size. Man, they are, but they swim really good. They're really soft, quality swim baits. Somebody put me on, and that little Yum forward facing, the little sonar minnow. Man, that thing on a scrounger. I've caught a lot of fish on this fall, too. But you can use code Duncan-10 at bait-works.com to get you a break. Go check out the 12 days of Fishmas. All right, last but not least, hang the banner right here over my shoulder. Express Boats, the Bassmaster Classic winning high performance 21-foot beast of an aluminum bass boat. 250 Yamaha shell on the back, sea deck, bow to stern. I got my Garmin's on there. It's a beast. It's a beast. It's a beast. I've got a new video about to drop on the rod storage. I made a post this week about rods in particular, and it got me thinking. I'm truly blown away at how many you can get in there. So I'm going to do a little video on that. Try to get that out this week as well, or soon. and constantly trying to do more and more walkthroughs, get those coming to y'all. Because I feel like on social media, everybody always says, I've been getting a lot of questions. I legitimately get questions and about different things about the Express X21. Of course, a 96-inch beam, an amazing hole shot, takes rough water great, more tackle storage than a man needs. Go check one out. If you've never ridden in one, I promise you, you will be blown away. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. Maybe Santa will bring you one. Maybe Santa will put a big old bow on one right in the yard. All right, I'm going to text our guest real quick. All right, slow news week in the fishing world for the most part. I mean, there's a lot going on. Of course, the NPFL's big announcement. We talked that. You got rosters coming out. We talked that last week. But something that I think is going to be interesting, because we all like bright, new, and shiny. But I saw this week the Icon brand of bass boats, something that's going to be built off of kind of the old Hydrosport platform, which is a blast from the past name, one of the Earl Bentz companies from years gone by, coming back out. And this thing, it looks cool, man. I keep hearing a lot of rumblings of it. Going to be built in Tennessee. Going to be interesting to see. But I say that to say this. I think you're going to see some big names aligned with that company, for word on the street is. And I don't know that some of those announcements might not pop off here in the next couple of weeks. So it'd be interesting to see how that all shakes out. I there's a misconception when there's a new bass boat brand. For the most part, I always think that people are like, oh my God, there'll be, and I talked this to death on the show, there'll be so many more, customers in the market, but really they just kind of, that bass boat pie is, there's only so many slices in that bass boat market. So they tend to take from others, but not necessarily add a bunch of customers to the market. But it's always cool to see where people get aligned. And I like that. I've got a lot of people in my life that were around that Hydrosport brand. So be interesting to see all of that shake out in the coming weeks and months. All right. Our guest today, pull him up here. Our guest today is a former Beaver owner. He is a two-time Bassmaster Classic champion. He is a Bass Pro Tour Angler of the Year. He is a heavy hitting son of a gun. He is the son of Bruce Lee and Lee Lee. We are going to get him on the phone right now for Christmas. The one, the only, Jordan Lee.
What's going on?
What's up, Joe? How are you, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. I say this every week, but probably just got the best intro of your life. I'm going to say it's going to be hard for me to follow, but now it's because I'd had to do my research when we did Boats and Pros a couple of years ago. So I got all these fun facts on you now. So I can say that you're a former Beaver owner. I can say that you're the son of Bruce Lee and Lee Lee. Like, there are so many nuggets that we got that day out on a cold Wheeler Lake.
You did your research and you kept that archive just for this moment.
I did because, man, I get a lot of requests. Man, you got to get Joe on. And I'm like, I already had him on Boats and Pros. I don't know what else we can talk about. Like, that was like, incredible.
I mean, this guy's not that.
He's whatever. Not that cool. Whatever. But man, I appreciate you joining me because I've never had you on the actual podcast. I was thinking about it. Yeah, I don't think we have. And all the years, I'm like, I don't think I have had Joe on ever. So I appreciate you, dude. I said this was my Christmas gift to all these lowlifers. They'll appreciate it. Your name pops up in the comments all the time. So thanks for being here. And because I know it's a crazy time of year with a lot going on. My first question is, did you win your tournament yesterday on Smith Lake?
I knew this was going to be a topic.
You can't tell me you were going to fish the Wildcatter. I had to ask.
I know. Yeah, I knew this was going to be a startup. And I'll say this. I didn't even make it to weigh-in.
Uh-oh.
Didn't even make it to weigh-in. actually, we made it to weigh-in, but we made it there about 2 hours early. Had a little boat issue. You know, when I'm in between boats, I fish out of aluminum rig,
uh-huh.
and Man, I've had this thing for 3 years, and I put it through just immortal hell.
I can only imagine.
You can imagine. I beat it up. But me and a buddy, we fished it yesterday, and about 1 o'clock we had troll motor issues and or battery issues. So, just a typical Saturday.
Yeah, that's right.
Just your average fisherman out there. We had a lot of fun. We didn't catch any big ones. Wouldn't have won the tournament. We caught probably the most fish I've ever caught in a tournament.
Holy crap. Really?
It was that we caught that many, and it was for the lowest weight possible. most of the time you go out, you catch over, 50-60 fish, especially like on a crankbait or something, in different parts of the lake, you would think, man, you're probably gonna have a pretty good catch.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case. We had 11.5 pounds, but just one of those deals. But
did a Wiggins or a Hall win the tournament?
I honestly don't even know who won the tournament. I was checking on Facebook, last night, laying in bed, looking at Smith Lake, Smith Lake page, seeing if they put the results up, but they didn't put them up. So I haven't heard.
Dang.
But if I had to guess, it was probably Jesse and Jordan.
I was going to say, it's probably a weird. So. Well, and Jesse's got his big deer out of the way, so now he can focus on the Saturday morning wildcat out of the dam.
Exactly.
Was that out of the park or out of the dam?
This was out of the dam. They had one out of the park yesterday, and I got word of what won it, and it was they have a 3-fish tournament there out of the park. And it took 16 pounds in 3 to win yesterday.
Oh, so, Smith Lake bass love a little dirty water, don't they?
They do. And that's what, it's funny. I learn something every time I go, especially if I get to go a couple times a week. And, I'm always torn on it's Smith, like what side of the lake I want to fish on. Mm-hmm. I'm always torn. Do I want to fish down near the dam? Do I want to fish up in Crooked or Rock? Or do I want to fish by the park? And every year is a little different. And Kristen and I got to go for a couple hours this week, and we went by the park and caught some nice fish, caught some, they were biting a crankbait, and water was dirty. I was like, well, if they're biting here, they're going to be biting on the other side. And, and they were, but they were just a lot, their heads were a little close to their tails.
That's
most fun.
But that kind of segues into something I had in my notes here that I know about you above all else. And dude, and there's a common theme amongst successful professional anglers, in my opinion, and they're obsessed with it. And you just love to fish. Like, you take all this aside, what would Joe Lee be doing on a Saturday if he's not the Jordan Lee Bassmaster Clap Champ, BPT, AOI, you'd still be fishing the Saturday morning, wildcat damn, regardless. Like, you'd be doing it, and you do that in between. I know a lot of guys get frustrated when they see a pro pull up, but I feel like in that community down there and at Gunnersville, people embrace you guys when you show up. They enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
For the most
part. Yeah, they do. Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I don't know a lot of these guys personally. I know a few of them, but they, like you said, yeah, they embrace it. And I have a couple even smaller lakes that are around the house that are, mm-hmm. John boat lakes pretty much. And, I'll show up to one of those, and I mean, yeah, they're used to me being there. I mean, some of those guys I've seen since I was a kid, fishing there, they're still fishing there, mm-hmm. 15, 20 years later. And, but yeah, they don't care. I think I've been down there. I've been to a lot of these local lakes my whole life, and they know that when I show up, it's not an automatic win. Like, you may think with the outside people looking
That's
in,
right.
well,
that,
you know,
yes,
Jordan Lee's coming, he's won 2, whatever, won these tournaments. It's not a guarantee that I'm going to show up, and, fishing's never a guarantee.
No.
So it's, and I lose a lot more than I win, but I mean, that's one of the reasons I love about, you know, what I love about it.
And Bass don't care, right? They don't care about a resume. That's always, that's the misconception is people think, oh my gosh, this guy's a phenom. But dude, you're not on Smith every day. Like some of the locals you fish against, they fish the lake a lot more than you do now because you travel around, you've got sponsor obligations. That's always the biggest misconception when a guy starts fishing nationally and then wants to come fish at home when he's at home. Now, do you know the juice? Absolutely. Are you a fantastic angler? But you're right. It's not necessarily a guarantee. I always get real frustrated to hear guys get mad. That's what I'm enjoying about like those ABT 100s is that K allows that. And you've got this mix of pros and stud locals in that 100 bait field. It's a blast, man. And I saw you're on the roster for that next year.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Yeah, I got to fish two of them a couple years ago. Going to get to fish two this year. Those were fun. And I mean, I just love the competition no matter what it is. And so, I think, going back, just like what you're talking about the lakes and, you know, you go down there against a bunch of locals, I feel like, you know, when you go down there for a bigger tournament, you know, whether it's an open or even an elite or a BPT tournament, you know, I think your advantage just goes way up on certain lakes and just because how unique they are. But when you go down there for a Saturday morning tournament, that advantage is out the door because them guys know it too. So
that's right.
That's fun.
Oh, it's a blast, man. And I just see you doing that so much. Do you struggle or did you struggle? I guess I should say, in the beginning with the business side of everything, because you are just so fishing focused. And I know you've done very well business wise. You've got a great sponsor portfolio, but was that ever frustrating for you? Or is it frustrating still the business side of it at times?
It can be if you let it, I guess, but for me, I've just kind of embraced it, from the start. And, you know, it took me a couple years just to realize how everything kind of worked in the fishing world. You know, I guess going into it, you know, I thought that it was going to probably, even then, it was easier than it is now. And I thought it was just going to be a little bit easier to come up with, you know, come up with the money that you need to basically survive. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you know, how can I grow this, and, you know, what are the kind of the steps that I need to do? And I kind of looked at it from a big picture, and it just slowly, well, it didn't really slowly, but when I obviously the tournament wins, those were like, I mean, that was huge. You know, I don't know. And at that time too, I kind of knew what to do with that. I didn't just let it slip through my fingers. You know, I took advantage of those because I've heard guys in the past say that, you know, when they win a big tournament or win a classic or something, man, I didn't take advantage of that. And I didn't, you know, I didn't do everything I could to maximize that opportunity. And that's one thing that I tried to do. And whether that was, you know, the shows were still fairly big, whether it was going and doing that and anything that a company wanted me to go to do, if it was in reach, I would be like, yep, absolutely, I'll be there. And I've always just tried to, you know, make, I tell people, I'm just like, I just want to make everybody happy. You know, if this is something that, you know, they have a request, whether it's Ranger or whoever it may be, I'm all ears. And, you know, I just want to just be pretty much the best employee. That's what I always say I am too. I'm an employee of these companies. If they need something, I want to do it and do it to the best of my ability. So it's kind of over the years, I've learned a lot, and I just really embrace that side of it.
Well, it's truly, and I talk this to death, but it is the most important side of the business at times. I mean, yeah, you got to be able to catch them, but if you're going to survive, long term. I like how you said maximize like those victories, maximize those good performances, or the exposure you're given, regardless of where you may finish. You know, maybe that's a video mm-hmm. you end up in, or live coverage, or whatever that is. I think that maximization, that's a great way to put it. Do you feel like coming out of that college, you know, the bracket and making the classic and getting that experience? So, you know, because, I mean, dude, you're mm-hmm. 31 years old now, but you're this veteran. I mean, it's like talking to a guy that's done it for 30 years every time I'm around you. But do you think that experience helped you on the business side as well? Just understanding, hey, there's going to be a lot coming my way or could be thrown at me after those victories?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of understood it at that time a little bit, but, you know, I wasn't going out, you know, at that age. You know, I was really, you know, you take it back to like the college days, I was pretty in the know on kind of how things worked. I knew at that age, even making the classic, I kind of knew what to expect, that I wasn't just gonna have all these deals come pouring in. And I thought it was gonna be pretty slow as far as, especially like money wise. And I mean, I was right on that regard, but it did prepare me for, and I had some great opportunities, you know, when I won that bracket. And I think I see it now with a lot of the younger guys, the college anglers who are winning that tournament. You know, I feel like they're doing the same thing and, you know, taking that path, and, you know, they're taking advantage of it, so to speak. So, it really does help, you know, for the future.
Well, I think so, man. I definitely remember, you know, catching wind of you back then, you and Matt, and just, I thought it was so cool what, you know, companies like Dynamic Sponsorships were doing.
Absolutely.
You know, their involvement's amazing. Those guys are great. They're really, they probably don't get enough credit in our industry because they're so behind the scenes, you know, I mean, for most people, but they do a great job. That crew, there's always positivity coming out of them, and you can kind of see them grooming up that next Jordan Lee, that next superstar. It's really cool to witness that. And your story, for me, I was thinking about this morning, how cool is it for you to be an example for all, because, man, this college fishing deal is gigantic now, and
yeah,
for them to be able to look at you and go, Jordan went from what we are doing to Signature Series rods and reels, man. I mean, like, dude, that is
really
so
cool.
It's so cool, man. And baits and everything else, but just so cool to see that, I have no doubt.
Oh, it really is. I mean, you know, for me, like, I always take myself back, you know, to those days, and it just seems like yesterday. You know how time goes by. And I remember those, you know, those college days and getting right out of college and just the excitement that I had to try to, you know, make my way in the fishing world. And that was probably some of the most, I mean, that was some of the most fun times too, and the most stressful times. But
you stress?
At that age, you don't, well, at that age, honestly,
I hate to interrupt, but I was going to say, Jordan Lee stressed about something? Hang on a second. Let's back up.
At that age, probably I didn't have as much stress as I do now. And it's never been about the fishing. I never really got stressed about the fishing. Yeah. But when you get older, now you have different responsibilities. But then, you're right. I didn't have any stress.
I was going to say, Jordan
right.
Lee is not a stressed out guy.
No,
about
no,
five
no.
years ago.
No, and that hadn't changed either. That's probably not a good word. You're right. You caught me. You caught me.
Yeah, I got you on that one. I'm like, come on, Joe.
Yeah, but, man, those were fun times. And you don't really know it until it's already passed. But, you know, trying to make your way, and sometimes that's the fun part looking back. and just to see how it all ends up. It's just kind of almost a story, but I've had some good times for sure.
Well, and the story is far from over too. That's what's so amazing about a guy like you. And I think that we talked about that on that Boats and Pros episode, that when I was doing my research for it a little bit, and of course knowing you well and knowing what you do, it's just in your record. But when you start looking at the numbers and you start looking at your earnings and how quick you got to $1 million in earnings and how quick you kind of just blew the doors off of the pro fishing world when you came in, there's so much more to be accomplished. And that's it, and I know you'll never be satisfied until you've just won everything about 9 times. And then I don't know that you will be. But that kind of leads me to you know, this year and where we're at with a lot of stuff. And I had I had Gerald Spoyer on and talking format change and all that a few weeks ago. And he was like, hey, Jordan Lee was one of the most instrumental guys in kind of leading that charge. And of course Gerald told the whole story, so we don't really have to get into the nuts and bolts of that, because you know, I've applauded MLF for listening first of all. But I guess for you, my question is dude, you excelled at that format just like you have at Five Fish. Was that decision for you more based on what you feel like fans want to see? Because I know you guys, I mean, it was pretty unanimous for the most part in the format change from what Gerald said on here. But is that more for fans or for your fellow anglers that were kind of coming to you? Like, Joe, we got to do something different. What led you to be passionate about that change?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, Gerald called, me and him, and a lot of the guys, I mean, we don't talk all the time. We talk, you know, at tournaments, and then, you know, when we go home, I don't really have a huge, I guess, network of people that I just, you know, talk to every week. But, you know, Gerald, when we were talking back and forth, and we're like, man, I mean, it seems kind of out of reach, but I mean, what do you think? I mean, you know, you always hear grumblings between the anglers, and not really grumblings, just talk. And, you know, is this something that we need to look into? Is this something that we need to try to, you know, I mean, what do the anglers feel? You know what, that was the number one thing. And I mean, are most guys happy at where we're at and how, you know, we're doing things? Are they happy with the format? Do they want to keep competing in this format? Because the format is a big part of Major League Fishing, but, I don't think it was the, you know, for us, the number one, you know, on the table. This wasn't the number one thing that we loved about it. And that's, I think, I'm trying to say this correctly, but, yeah. So, I mean, we talked to the anglers, and the first thing I did just on my own was I sent out a survey. I got on like SurveyMonkey just to say, you know, I sent an email to everybody, all the anglers, and, just say, hey guys, what do we think about, you know, going forward? Is this something we want to keep doing, you know, Five Fish, or, you know, Every Fish Counts, or do we want to do something a little bit different between these two? And, you know, it came back where the majority of people, you know, would like to have the Five Fish format. And then there were still quite a few guys that wanted to stick, you know, with this, the current format we had, Every Fish Counts. So then it was like, okay, well, I mean, what do the numbers have to be for this to even, you know, come up with a change where we can go to the league and say, hey, this is what we want to do? And I think we were right there on those numbers of, you know, as far as the anglers go. And then I think for me personally, though, this wasn't, like you said, I have had success in this format. And I think it'll be hard for me. Every year I go into a year and I'm like, man, it'll be hard to top last year. And some years, you know, I've had one or two, you know, I'd say subpar years for myself. But, you know, there's always that for me going into the next year. There's always some sort of, it's excitement. It's a little, I get a little jitters going into the next year because I'm like, man, you know, you want to do good. But for me, this overall was more of a fan. And I thought the fans overall, you know, the hardcore fans for sure, you know, relate to the five fish format
because
you know, that's what everybody competes in. And the number one thing that even some, you know, like what Boyd and a lot of guys agreed with was, you know, we don't have this technology that where, you know, the tournament anglers can compete in our format. And that's, you know, from day one, they thought they could get this out pretty quick, whether it may be a scale or whatever it could be where, you know, people could try to compete in this format, but it just hadn't happened yet. So I think, you know, from the fan standpoint and from the angler standpoint, it just kind of made sense. And I'm a little surprised that we from a league got it done this quick, but I am excited about it. And I'm just excited to see where it goes. I don't really know what to expect going into next year, but I'm hoping for, you know, a positive feedback, and I hope it's going to be exciting.
Well, I think between the format change and I think that your schedule is just ridiculous. You guys got a really good schedule next year. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And look, of any criticisms I've ever had of MLF, the format was never one. I see the pissing and moaning on the internet. I see what people say about the format at times. But I also think that you can have three people that are very loud that make it sound like 300 at times too, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you get
that's
that
how
a lot.
It always is.
And they're probably still watching, whether they say, I will never watch this crap. They're still watching because there's some amazing anglers doing amazing things. So I don't think that, or they're at least, this is what I say about the show. I've got people that don't like my perspective on things, but they still come by and comment something negative. I'm like, well, you're watching. Like, why are you peeking through the blind? Like, what are you doing here? So I feel like MLF, so there's a lot of that. But I look, man, I think that it takes a big person, in my opinion, to go, hey, we might have got this wrong. You know what I mean? Because it was a very risky move because they have that format is their deal. That is their deal, you know? So I think the catchway release part of it though, still being able to do that. And I think what this does to us five fish wise is I think this all the time when I'm broadcasting MPFLs, I really do wish there was a way because I think we're at a time now where it's kind of archaic that the anglers in the boats don't know what the other guys have, or they're not allowed to know that. I know why we do it to a certain extent in all the other leagues, but I still think that added little bit of information like, oh crap, I better get on my horse, or oh crap, watching the wheel spin out when somebody goes, well, Joe just caught an 8 and a 7 back to back. I'm screwed. You know, I like that drama. And I think in the five fish format, it's going to be fun to watch that take place. And I like the fact that with five on certain fisheries, there will be guys that are never out of it for sure.
Yeah.
You know, a guy can't run off with 100 pounds and leave the dude in 20th behind. So I think it's pretty cool. Do you think, and this is a loaded question, Jolie, but
yeah, I like it.
You like it, but no, do you think the names at the top of the leaderboard will change?
I think, to an extent, yes. And I mean, that's a two-part question. I think yes and no. Obviously, I don't think you're, you know, Wheeler and
come on,
Canale, that would be stupid for me to say that's going to change. Because, listen, this year it was like, this tournament, this one doesn't really set up for him. It's going to be a five-fish tournament. No, he's at the top, and it's just every tournament you're just waiting for him just to have a mediocre. I mean, just like a
30th.
Yeah, just like a 15th or a 20th. It just, you know, middle of the pack where you're, and it never happens. You're like, well, so it would be dumb for me to say that, but I mean, I think it's going to change a little bit because you're going to see guys that typically I mean, the format, it is hard to keep up throughout a day. You know, I think that's the number one thing that I've fished for 4 years, and I've noticed that, man, if you just have a slow couple of hours, it just can change your tournament. And now I feel like different guys will probably excel even more than they have. And I think you're going to see a few guys rise to the top that may not have been, you know, up there. So I think you will see some different names next year. I'm going to go out and say that.
Yeah, I think you'll see some names win that haven't won on the Bass Pro Tour.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the five fish format, I think that'll be the case. But I think you will, like you said, it's two parts. I think the same people are going to continue to catch them as well because they're just really good at catching freaking bass. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, they did it in the five fish format before. So before everybody's that's like, oh, Jacob Wheeler's a every fish counts legend. Let's look back just a little bit before that, guys.
Exactly.
Let's not get too carried away here. I've read those comments. They're just doing this because they're tired of Wheeler winning. I'm like, they'll be tired of him winning again next year too.
Yeah, it's you know, and Jacob and I, we had some conversations. When this all was kind of coming to fruition, and I was, you know, a lot of people, you know, you do see those comments.
Oh, yeah.
and this and that, you hear them. But yeah, that it's really. That's never going to change, you know. It's still going to happen, I think his last two, I mean, we could have this whole podcast on Wheeler. You could have him on, but the last two tournaments he fished, I don't know if he won them or came in second or third, but he was right there at the top in the five fish major event.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to get Wheeler on before next season for sure. But talk about because you are. The guy that keeps tabs on him, in my opinion. It's you guys kind of checking each other up.
Yeah.
Chasing each other. It's a really cool dynamic to watch. What is y'all's relationship like on the water and off the water? I mean, I know you guys talk a good bit, but how does that look as fierce? Because he's like you. You guys are out for blood. And you want to beat him and he wants to beat you. But talk about that relationship a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, our relationship is, I think we both have respect for each other, obviously, number one. You know, there's a lot of people that don't like a winner, you know, and that's pretty much what he is. I mean, he does win a lot. So I say a lot of people, you know, you, Jacob has more fans than hardly anybody.
That's
but,
right.
You know, sometimes that, I mean, Michael Jordan, there was a lot of people that kind of envied, I'd say envy almost.
Yes.
Because of the success. Yeah, the jealous and that side of it. And my hat's always been off to him because I do see the work that he puts in. And, you know, I got respect for him, you know, on and off the water, regardless of anything else. And he's just, you know, puts in crazy amounts of time. And, you know, it shows in the tournament standing. So,
no doubt about that. Is there anything about his game that has made you change anything about the Jordan Lee approach? Like as you guys duke it out for Angler of the Years and things, is there something that you went in, say last year, all right, I want to get better at X because I think it'll help me compete on certain bodies of water. So is there something that you feel like you've gotten better at in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was a little slow, and I still am to an extent, a little slow to the forward-facing sonar game. That's been pretty much the name of the game in our tournaments and a lot of the professional tournaments. And, you know, my last tournament win was going on 3 years ago at Kissimmee, and I didn't have it on my boat then. You know, Lawrence, I've been with them since the get-go. They didn't have that active target out yet. And a lot of the guys had the pan optics and stuff like that. And so I think they kind of got a head start on it a little bit. And it took me, I'm still trying to know exactly when I want to use it and when I just want to turn the thing off. I'm kind of like everybody else, but I don't go into an event. There's some guys that are just absolutely assassins with that.
Yes.
And, you know, that are next level. And he's one of those guys that are just, I mean, it's just next level how they can, you know, use it. And I'm not always the most accurate with it as far as, you know, and my distance is off a little bit, you know, and casting, and you got to make the right cast. And it's crazy how close you have to land it on them. And I'm not to that level yet, but that's something I've tried to kind of morph into my game where, you know, when I need that, and I did that a little bit this year, and try to know when I needed to really hone in and use it to my advantage. And that's what I've really tried to work on more than anything.
Is it frustrating in a sense that that's where things are headed? I hear this from a lot of guys. I love it. Like, I love forward facing. I've been a Garmin guy since they had the original Panoptix. I was catching fish on it, LiveScope. But I will not say that I am not. I mean, there are guys that are just, you know, doing incredible things on a lot of these lakes we see it out in Texas and, you know, other parts of the country. It's just crazy what it's done. But is it frustrating that there are just tournaments where, you know, man, if I'm not doing that, like I can't just go wind my plug around because I'm gonna get my teeth kicked in. Or 10 years ago, you could have just maybe took off down the bank throwing a chatterbait and a jig and been competitive.
It is a little bit, and I think you just have to know, and you have to go into a tournament knowing, hey, you know, this is going to be part of my game plan. I'm going to use this a lot, or I'm not going to. And then there's sometimes in tournaments where you thought it would never help you, and you kind of learn during the tournament. That's what I really did this year. I was just trying to pick up on a few things during the tournament with it and use it to my advantage. And I wasn't sitting there just staring at it, just jerking a jerk bait, trying to catch single fish or anything like that. But I was, you know, maybe looking for, you know, brush or, you know, whatever it may be, just see a fish randomly on it and, you know, sitting by a tree and cast at it four or five times and end up catching that fish. I mean, there's little things that, you know, like that during competition days. But overall, I see this thing playing out where, you know, it's just going to keep changing. And I think the fish are just going to, for the most part, if you're, you know, in the southern region of the U.S., I think the fish are just going to keep getting smarter and smarter with it. And start hiding from it, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, there's still ways that I feel like you can kind of get around it. But for the most part, it's just something you just got to adapt to and just say, hey, look, I'm either going to have to learn this and use it, or I'm going to get killed every tournament. So
I think that the craziest thing for me to see, I fish a couple little state lakes in Tennessee. They're loaded with bait and big fish and kind of pet stuff. I like to go and the fish suspend a lot. And it's amazing, say 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when nobody around here had LiveScope, and now everybody's got it. What I see those fish do now, and look, they can't go anywhere else. These are small bodies of water, and they're on the same kind of stuff all the time, same place.
Right.
I've probably caught some of them a lot, you know, over and over and over over the years since I was a kid, some of these fish probably. But anyways, and not just a tiny lake, but good-sized lakes, but still – and it's amazing, though, the amount of follows you get on your baits now. That used to be just a home run. You just look and go, hell, here they come. And you toss an A-rig to them or toss a single swimmer. And it was just, I mean, it was just how many you were going to catch is what it came down to. I mean, it was stupid. And now it's like, no, cuz, not today.
No, they know.
A lot. They do. And I wonder, you know, what that looks like. I'm all for the technology. I love it. I'm not a naysayer on it at all, like so many
That's
people
right.
can be. I'm obsessed with it too much at times, to be honest. And I think
especially when you're going out, just going fun fishing. I mean, it's so much fun to sit there and watch fish and play cat and mouse with them. It's different when you're in a tournament and you got the time ticking. But you're right. I mean, it's really, I think from whether you see it or not, I mean, you've been able to tell, and I've been able to tell on my local lakes how many fish just will just follow. And I think that's happened from the get go, but it's definitely gotten worse. Yeah. As far as, you know, because like you said, everybody's got it. Everybody's going down the Smith, throwing on all these spotted bass, and they're not dumb.
No.
And, you know, you learn that pretty quick. But
yeah, in the open last fall, I was talking to Carl Jacobson after the first day weigh-in. He was like, mate, you can't get within 100 feet of them. And I'm like, dude, if I can't get within 100 feet of one, I'm screwed. Like, he was telling me, he was telling me they're swimming away from him. No, he's like in the middle of the lake chasing these singles, you know, on his live scope or whatever. And I'm going, he's like, mate, I'm telling you, you can't get within 100 feet of him. I'm like,
I'm screwed if I can't get that close to him.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm toast, buddy. And I noticed it, though, truly, as the practice went on, the tournament went on, man, you pull up, I'm like, oh my gosh, those are ripe for the picking. You know, you see six or eight of them out there off a point, and you throw, and they just immediately just disappear. And you're like, well, where'd they go? And you ease up there. Yeah. Oh, well, they went 100 feet that way away from me once they heard this boat and heard the splash. Like, it's incredible how much it's changed, for sure. Well, buddy, I really appreciate you coming on big time. And I know everybody enjoys hearing your thoughts on things. And I want to wrap up today with, first of all, I'm going to send you my address for this lake sucks hoodie, because I need that everywhere I go. That was genius. When that popped up this week, I was like, okay, got to get on there and order me one. I haven't done it yet. You're probably already out, if I'm guessing. But that's an amazing hoodie.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. That was really Kristen's idea. I can't take full credit, because, you know, I come in from a practice, or especially used to, it's gotten a little bit better because she knows I'm lying, but, or she thinks I'm lying, but I come in and have a tough day and I'm like, oh, this place sucks. I mean, it really does. Like, I don't know why we're here, and, you know, go out and catch a few fish. And she's like, oh, it sucked. Oh, it did. I'm not lying. So, you know, that's always and I fished a lot of tournaments, and, you know, I've said that a lot, so she thought it'd be kind of, you know, everybody can relate to that.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. That's every tournament. This lake sucks, man. Pickwick and ABT 100 about 3 weeks ago. This place is terrible. Fishing worse than it ever has. 24 pounds, 22 pounds, yeah, 19, exactly. 19, 19. You're like, you bunch of lying sacks of crap. This lake don't suck at all.
Yeah. Every tournament. It never fails.
It never fails, man. I love that. This lake sucks. Dude, walk me through. So you are now known more than anything as Baker's dad. That's who you are now.
Yeah, that's right.
What will Christmas be like this year? Is he starting to get more into it?
Yeah, man. His first birthday was in October. So he's about 14 months old. And so he's getting pretty active, to say the least. I had to go in a separate, obviously I had to lock myself away from him for this phone call, because it would have been destructive, to say the least, if he was running around in here.
That's awesome.
But it's going to be fun. And I mean, I've really enjoyed being a dad, and it's had its challenges. I'm not going to lie. I mean, the first one, especially, I mean, I applaud parents now, and dads, moms, whoever it is, especially when you have multiple, like yourself. I mean, that's, it's crazy to me, because I know how hard one is. I'm like, how do these people have, you know, an army running through their house? It's chaos. It's got to be chaos.
It is chaos.
It's chaos.
Vodka. Vodka helps a lot.
Yeah. All kinds of, you know, over-the-counter drugs.
You gotta have to stay sedated, son. Especially when they get to the age mine are, because my youngest is 11 now. So I got him from 11 to 21 right now in the Brady Bunch that is the Duncan house. Yeah. And it's just, you just never know what in the hell's going to happen around here, bud.
You never know. Yeah. Yeah. So I've been impressed by that. I think that's the number one thing I've taken from him. I'm like, how do these people do this? But they do. So.
They definitely, there are a lot of good parents in the world, man. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the best gig in the world, too. That's a cliche. Absolutely. Thing everybody tells you. But, like, dude, I've seen your social media. I see, you can just tell it, man. You can watch and see.
Oh, I love
it. And all my buddies being new dads, you and Justin, and then Atkins and Lucas. But it's just cool watching everybody And I'm jealous too, because I don't have one. Like I said, I don't have a little bitty one anymore. And mm-hmm. I miss those days. That's for sure.
Yeah. I haven't taken it for granted, and I've tried to be here as much as I can and help Kristen out and just enjoy, you know, and just watching them, you know, change in a year. And I, you know, not saying I enjoy changing the diapers every day, but you know, it's part of it. It's what we do. And, but it is fun, and it's just going to continue, as I've heard, it just gets better. So I'm excited about the,
does he, you know, have any interest in fishing at all? You get him out on the boat and he enjoy it?
Not, took him out, I think, once. He's or twice, little, I know. And we, yeah, he's little. He, yeah, you know, it's hard to contain him. So, I mean, he wants to be moving a lot. So there hadn't been a lot of the, I have given him a, you know, like a topwater bait without the hooks on it, and he's just shoving it in his mouth. I'm like, that's not what we're supposed to do with this, this topwater plug, buddy. But hey, you know, whatever. And we're really into the, his favorite word's ball. So we've been, okay, we've been playing a lot of, he's been learning how to dunk a basketball, a little goal, and then kicking a soccer ball around. So, you know, all that fun stuff.
Well, you so be sure to get him trained up. That way he can go to the University of Tennessee and play with some real athletes.
There you go. There's your plug.
I was waiting, damn it.
I like it. You gotta have that moment. I mean, I wish I could say a lot of good things about Auburn this year, but as many of all the Auburn fans know, that it's had been one of them years, so we just shut up and sit in the corner.
You'll be back. You got a winner down there now. It's gonna be I can't wait to see how that plays out, to be honest, with Coach Freeze.
Oh, Freeze.
Are you on board with that? Before I let you go, are you on board with that pick?
I mean, I guess I'm going to have to be, because he is. But I really did – I'll say this before I let you go. The last half of our year, no matter – it was kind of one of those cool things about sports. But I remember watching Cadillac mm-hmm. when I was coming up and going to Auburn game and watching him and Ronnie Brown play. And to see him come in as a head coach and have, like, the influence he had was awesome. Like, that was, like, probably one of the coolest things I've seen – is an Auburn fan in a long time. He did a great job. So, I mean, I knew he wasn't going to get the head coaching job, but I was definitely proud of what win, lose, or draw, how he handled things down there. So we'll just see going forward. And I mean, my expectations are pretty low, so that's always a good thing.
Hey, look, I can say I'm well aware of how that goes. Obviously, over 20 years of terrible football team after terrible football team, and my expectations were low this year. And then we had a blast of the season.
Year.
Yeah, just incredible. Absolutely. So we'll see. Next year could be right back in the dumpster. You never know with the SEC, man. But yeah, I have to get in some SEC jabs every now and then. Now, absolutely. Just tell Bruce Pearl to take it easy on us. Yeah. Well, no, just tell him take it easy on us, because that damn Auburn basketball team's sneaky in the last few years too, man. They're good. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, sneaky. Super yeah, we're sneaky. More of a basketball school now, which is sad, but
so were we until this year.
I know.
And baseball and basketball. Jordan Lee, you are the man. I hope you guys have a fantastic Christmas, man. I appreciate you spending some time with us.
Absolutely, man. You too. Hope your family has a good one, and y'all take care. And I appreciate you having me on as well.
Thank you, buddy. Tell everybody I say hello.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Jordan Lee, everybody, the sauce right there. With Jordan Lee, brought to you by the W Sauce. This delicious nectar right here. You're going to be cooking a lot during the holidays. You better be. Get you some W Sauce, man. Chicken, pork chops. It's America's Worcestershire sauce. We just call it the W Sauce. Baron Burton's got the regular, old regular, and then you got the Fire Shire, got Vegan Shire. I got some deer meat marinating in it right now for some jerky on the Traeger. So, cannot wait. But pick you some up. You can get it online. It's everywhere. The W Sauce. We appreciate them bringing you all these fantastic guests. And Jordan Lee is one of those. Hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Love me some Jordan Lee. He is wise beyond his years at 31 years old to think. Just wrap your head around that, what he's accomplished in this sport in such a short amount of time, man. Whew. It's really, when you read those stats, like I said, when I was prepping for Boats and Pros a couple of years ago, or just today, looking over things, it really is. It's impressive. It's crazy. And then to see him and Wheeler just duking it out all the time is it's fun to watch. And next year with that five fish deal, it's going to be even more fun. So appreciate each and every one of you guys low lifing with me, tuning in, week out. No matter how you get this, whether it's YouTube, whether it's audio platforms, right, you know, in your ear holes, I appreciate y'all tuning in. That's my Christmas gift. I get to do this all the time. You folks are always amazing, and I will see y'all maybe next week live. No, not so live on the 26th. Hope every single one of you have a Merry Christmas. You get to spend it with the people that matter most to you. And I know Christmas can be a very hard time for a lot of folks out there. So, you know, just try to spend it with somebody. That's the key. That's the key. Don't spend it by your damn self if you can keep from it, man. I know it can be a hard one, as much as it's a happy occasion for so many folks. And if you're listening and you know somebody that might spend it alone, invite them over to your place, man. I can tell you, I have experienced that kind of thing, and it does everybody some good. So thank y'all, and Merry Christmas. Gonna take you out with some Biloxi Blues, and I'll see y'all next time.
Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west, north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and don't care, no, I don't care. Headed my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.